It's one of my favorite things in the world, but the problem is I'm diabetic, so I have to watch what I how much of the stuff I consume. It is mostly sugar, or at least it's got a whole lot of sugar in it anyway. So again, I can do it in moderation, but I can't overdo it. I love every imaginable kind of fruit, you know, mangoes, pineapples, all of those. But the fruit story that came to my mind when you mentioned fruit was, I guess, the difference in price that we pay here and what we pay in South America. In South America, I was used to going down and buying the best mangoes I've ever had in my life from a street vendor outside of Medellin. And I could, you know, fill my bag with as many as I could rationally carry. And I may not be the strongest guy in the world, but I'm sure not the weakest guy either, right? Like, I can carry a lot of mangoes. So I would fill my bag, and it would cost a few dollars. And I still remember when I came back to Canada, I found these mangoes. They looked a little bit like the ones I would buy in Medellin, and they're like $8, $9 each mango. It was the most amazing sticker shock, I guess. So that's the biggest adjustment I have to do with fruit. Like, I used to put mangoes on everything, but every meal would cost $50 if I did that. So there you go. That's it for me, V7ZEB.
The Rainbow Country Net is daily at 9 a.m.
When I was a kid, in both instances, I could pick pretty much as much fruit as I wanted for free and not have to worry about it. But, unless you have a greenhouse up here, you're not growing it all year round, so the price is going to go up to be able to get it for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. I remember the first time I met Erica, or first time we moved in, I guess, together, and we went to one of the local groceries, and she was just filling the cart full of fruit, and I'm going, holy cow, this is going to be like $300-$400, and we get to the till, and it was something like $12. I don't know what it was. It was just ridiculous. Anyway, we play the cards we're dealt. We have it good up here in Canada. Just maybe the fruit's a little expensive, that's all.
Yeah, comparatively to buying it on the roadside in South America anyways, for sure. All right. Well, anything else for us, Rich?
Nothing at all. Thanks again for doing that. VA7ZEB.
Thanks, Rich. Have a fantastic Friday evening, 7-3. Let's see. That is the end of my list. So let's see if there's anyone else out there for the Friday night check-in and chat net.
Victor is a 7, Mike Whiskey Golf.
Chase for Juliet.
Victor Alpha 7, November Romeo Charlie.
Victor Alpha 7, Charlie Quebec.
Victor Alpha 7, Lima Lima Kilo.
All right, let's hold it there for a second. So I got you, Walter, Mike Whiskey Golf stomped on you, but I got you both BGJ and Mike Whiskey Golf. I got November Romeo Charlie. I got Charlie Quebec, Lima Lima Kilo, and I think I missed one there at the end. Who was that?
Victor Alpha 7, Whiskey Papa Romeo.
Papa Romeo. Okay, got it. So let's hold it there. Let's go up to the top of that list. First voice I heard was Walter, Victor Echo 7, Bravo Golf Juliet. How you doing this evening, Walter?
Fine, Randy. Good to hear you. This is VE7BGJ. Well, I found that some of that quite interesting. I don't know how much I really have to say on the air without boring people to death. To make sense, but I have a rebuilt stomach colon, and I take some fruit. I'm not really a fruit person, but I eat some with corn flakes and with other things. Oh, what do you think of it? The yogurt and stuff like that, and old. canned peach is some of it. Some of it's berries. It's gotten, depending on what Walmart has out here. And I wondered if the Step 10, I'm quite noticing gas, a lot of it, with my rebuilt, smaller, reduced-size stomach and colon and one thing and another, and I tend to have problems every few days. I wake up feeling terrible one way or the other in the morning, either after breakfast or on a bad day before breakfast. So I don't like to eat too much of it, but I do consume some of it. And I used to like to eat pineapple with my pizza too. We didn't grow up with pizza. It was an acquired taste afterwards. But that was interesting to know this, that gas could be a problem with that stuff. That's something I will have to keep in mind. The schooling we had wasn't very good. Jericho Hill, there was the old deaf and blind school in Vancouver, concentrated on getting somebody university entrance where the people were capable of, and didn't think of that anything mattered. Didn't think of them being able to apply themselves to doing anything else. I don't know how they were expected to survive. With all that, because not everybody had a use for English literature or Shakespeare or something like that. We could have used other things a lot better, including knowledge of that kind. So, thanks anyway for the information, and I'll know to keep that in mind the next time I think I'm eating a lot of gas. Take stock of the situation of what I'm consuming. B7BGJ.
Well, and yogurt and cereal, I mean, they're both such, you nailed it, both such great matches for fruit, peaches or berries or that on my cereal, and yogurt as well. But yeah, gas is kind of comes with the territory if you're eating some fruit, and, you know, it's one of the unfortunate byproducts, I guess.
When you don't have a very big stomach, it isn't long before you've got a problem, and it's got to go. You got to be removed. Over.
Yeah, can be a problem with or without the colon rebuilt, for sure.
Anyway, thank you. I don't want to hang on belabor the point. I just, thanks for the information. I never thought of it. But I'm not an engineer. I heat it up in the microwave. It's usually ready to go, and close to that, and I'll warm things up in the microwave, and that's about the amount of the preparing I do, because I can't see where all the bad spots are in it or in the stuff that I can't eat, or any stones. Whatever, so that's all get taken care of by my trusty chef. We call him Chef Neil. He's a retired bus driver, but he spends a lot of time in the kitchen. Him and my favorite landlady upstairs. They spend a lot of time cooking. So I lay off most of what they do, because if they load stuff with spices, I wasn't a spicy fellow when I'm probably less of a spicy fellow these days. So every once in a while you learn something like that. Thank you, B7BGJ.
You bet. Thank you, Walter. Thank you very much for checking in. You are number 8 on the paper tonight. So you have yourself a wonderful Friday evening at 7:03.
7:03.
All right, that is going to take us over to Mark, Victor Echo 7, Mike Whiskey Golf. How are you, Mark?
I'm well, thank you. About 20 feet away from Canada as I'm crossing the border going north, so I'm about to get home, so spent a nice day visiting with friends and relatives and all that stuff. And so, on the regarding the fruit business, here's a question. How do you pick a watermelon properly? I have my system where I thump it and listen for that echo sound to come back just the right way. It's all like watermelon sonar. Some people use the straw across the median of the watermelon, wait for it to turn sideways. If it turns sideways, it's a good one. But there are all kinds of methods for picking melons. That's a very interesting topic. Anyway, enough for me for the moment.
You bet. Well, I am no expert, but this method, and I have to thank Eagle Eye Produce in Idaho for this method, and they put it on a chart and everything, how to pick the perfect watermelon. It's basically four different criteria, and they have them ranked in order of importance. The most important is sort of the shape. You want your watermelon to have a uniform size, and you want it also to feel a little bit heavier than it looks, as opposed to elongated and maybe not as heavy. So that's going to give you sweetness instead of watery if it's got that uniform size. And that's the most important. The second most important is the field spot. Every watermelon will have a field spot on it. The field spot, you want it to be more yellow than white, or sort of orange. If the deeper orange or yellow that field spot is, it's going to be full of flavor. The deeper white it is, it's going to have little to no taste. And then the third most important thing is the webbing. So the smaller webbing is going to be bland. If the webbing, as it comes sort of where it all meets together at the end, if it's thicker and wider, it's going to be sweet. And then the fourth and least important criteria is the ripeness. Obviously, you can wait for it to get ripe, but if it's dark and dull, it's ripe. If it's shiny, it is not yet ripe. So that's the criteria. As per Eagle Eye Produce, it's always worked for me.
Wow, I'm impressed. That sounds great. Makes me want some watermelon right now. We're about to cross here, so I'll get off now and monitor for the rest of the unit. So thanks for letting me check in. Appreciate it, Randy. Bye.
You bet, Mark. I hope you had a great day visiting. Good luck at the crossing. I will say 7-3 for now, and you have yourself a great Friday night. And for anyone who's interested, if you want the watermelon chart, you can email me. I'll happily send it to you. It's rocketrandy1@hotmail.com. So that is rocketrandy, and the number 1@hotmail.com. So that is going to take us down to Brendan over in North Vancouver, Victor Alpha 7, November Romeo Charlie. Brendan, how are you this evening?
Good evening. This is Victor Alpha 7, November Romeo Charlie in West Vancouver here. It's a beautiful day. And, watermelon. Why does that remind me of... excuse me. Why does that remind me of Herbie Hancock? Didn't he have an album, a Watermelon Man or something like that? Anyways, interesting topic tonight. I guess something to do with fruit. So, yeah, fruit is good. I like fruit. Fruit salad, yummy, yummy. So, that's the way that goes. Thanks for doing that there, Randy. It's Victor Alpha 7, November, Romeo Charlie. And we're all set to take net control on Sunday coming up here in a couple of days.
Good stuff. That was going to be my next announcement. Brendan, the A7NRC will be net control for this net, the check-in and chat net, at 2000 hours on Sunday. And yeah, fruit is the topic. Sort of, where do you get your fruit? Do you go to the farmers markets? Do you grow it yourself? What's your favorite fruit? And do you have any tips for sort of picking the right fruit? And are you one of those guys with the bananas in the freezer that never get used?
Yeah, okay. I don't really care for bananas. And then there's also the whole Banana Republic thing. But moreover, I don't really like them very much. My mom, actually, I was talking to recently, and she came back from Ecuador with a banana crossed with a plantain. And I guess it doesn't really taste like banana. It tastes plantain, a passion fruit. Passion fruit banana. It's quite the interesting-looking thing. And in any case, interesting fruit. news around here. So anyways, I do grow my own fruit. My strawberries are in their second season. I planted them last year, and so they should perform well this year. I think they're happy in their home, and they've established their roots, and they look like they're starting to come back to life. My parsley, my chives, and my onions all survived over the winter. Why would you grow onions over the winter, you might ask? That's a good question.